Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of Natural Capsules Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sayam Pokarna from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Nirav. Welcome, everyone. Good evening. Thanks a lot for joining us in this Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of Natural Capsules Limited. The results and investor presentation have been emailed to you and are available on the stock exchange. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us and we'll be happy to send it over to you. To take us through today's results for the quarter and for the full financial year and answer your questions, we have with us today Mr. Sunil Mundra, Managing Director, Mr. Raj Kishore Prasad, Chief Financial Officer. We'll be starting with a brief overview of the quarter and the year from Mr. Mundra, followed by a Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that anything said during this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and risks that the company faces. These uncertainties and risks have been included, but are not limited to what has been mentioned in our annual reports. With that said, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Mundra. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sayam. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for the Q4 and FY24 earnings call. I am pleased to present an overview of our performance for the fiscal year 2024 and share our strategic outlook for the future. FY24 has been a challenging yet transformative year for Natural Capsules Limited. Despite the headwinds, we have demonstrated resilience and adaptability. Our revenue from operations for the year stood at 155.42 crores, reflecting a decline of 9.83% compared to FY23. This decrease was primarily due to lower realizations in the capsule segment. Our EBITDA for FY24 was around 19.91 crores, a decrease of 43.18% from FY23, with EBITDA margins at 12.87%, down from 20.33% in FY23. Resultantly, profit after tax stood at rupees 5.55 crores, down by 69.92%, and EPS for the year was rupees 6.23 compared to 19.82 in FY23. The operating environment in FY24 presented several challenges. Domestically, we faced a difficult market with fluctuating raw material prices and availability issues. However, we managed to navigate these challenges by securing stable supplies and maintaining our production schedules. On the export front, currency availability issues in key markets such as Kenya, Ghana, Nigeria, coupled with logistic disruptions, particularly in the Red Sea area, impacted our performance. These currency issues create a two-way impact. They directly reflect on the exports of capsules to those markets and also impact the export of formulation that use our capsules. As a result, the volume that did not get absorbed in those markets led to higher supply in domestic markets and lower realization for our capsules, directly impacting our profitability. Despite these challenges, we recorded an 18% growth in our export business, driven by new market entries and expanded business with existing customers. Our capital expenditure plans have been a critical focus area this year. We have made significant progress in our capsules and API segments. The installation of the first HPMC line was completed in March 24, and production has ramped up steadily through April and May. We plan to install the second and third HPMC line in due course, which will further enhance our production capacity. In the API segment, we inaugurated our kilo lab for small volume production batches and received the drug department license in the month of May. We are now in the process of obtaining final clearances from the Pollution Control Board and consent for operation, which will allow us to commence commercial production of large batches by August. Despite delays in executing our CAPEX plans, we remain committed to our investment strategy and are confident in our ability to scale our operations profitably. Looking ahead, we are optimistic about our growth trajectory. The commencement of the additional HPMC line and the ramp-up of our API production will drive top-line growth and improve our margin profile. We anticipate higher realization in FY25 compared to the previous year, supported by a stable pricing environment and increased demand for our products. Our focus on R&D remains strong with ongoing investments in process improvements. We believe that our commitment to innovation will enable us to stay ahead of our peers and consistently deliver high-quality products to our customers. In conclusion, FY24 has been a year of resilience and transformation for Natural Capsules. Despite the challenges, we have made significant progress in our strategic initiative and are well positioned for future growth. It is important to note that during this challenging environment, our technology advancements and manufacturing efficiencies in the capsule business have come to the fore. Not only have we performed better than our peers, but we have also outdone ourselves compared to previous down cycles. In earlier downturns, our margins used to drop to single-digit EBITDA. However, this time we have maintained a 14% EBITDA margin on our standalone capsule business, demonstrating our resilience. We remain confident that as soon as the operating environment normalizes, we'll start recording better margins. I would like to thank our shareholders for their continued support and faith in us. We look forward to sharing our progress and achievements with you in the quarters to come. Thank you. This concludes my opening remarks. I'll now hand over to the moderator for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Ritesh Chaudhary from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So my first question is, considering the operational difficulties we are facing currently in the market, what is our expectation of sales and profitability in FY25?
Okay. I think our understanding is that the capsule realizations have bottomed out in the year gone by. Hence, in the current year, we expect higher revenue from improvement in realization of sales from per unit of capsules. Additional HPMC line, which is already installed, another line which is going to come by in the year. Additionally, we expect improved exports as outlook in ROW market improves. At subsidiary level also, we expect contributions towards the consolidated numbers.
Okay. So, what kind of demand are we seeing in general in capsule segment?
Demand, see, we have been able to produce and market almost 95% of our capacity. Demand is there and supplies are happening. It's only the question of the realization has gone down, and that is why the bottom line is it. Otherwise, there is sufficient demand in the market, both domestic as well as international.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. My next question would be, since the PLI incentives were supposed to kick in from this year, what sort of projection have you built in for the PLI incentive for FY25, given that our capacity utilization will be low?
Yes, the PLI was supposed to kick in from 1/4/23 actually, but considering the starting of the production in the current year in the Q2, at the moment it is difficult to anticipate what would be, because there are number of conditions there touching the production capacity for all the three products would be difficult. So what we might try and achieve is that the PLI for the one product, that's prednisolone, we would focus on and try to meet the committed quantity. Once we do that, then we should be able to get some realization on the produce alone capacities. That is our presumption at the moment.
Okay, nice, sir. So, sir, I have one last question. So, sir, can you give an elaborate breakdown of fund utilization for CAPEX plans, right? And there have been some cost overruns. So, if you can give breakdown on that side also. And from the and also the mix of the capital, how it's funded, like internal accruals or the part of debt or fundraising, if you could just give some flavor on it.
The total CapEx on the API project, you are referring to the API project, right?
Yes.
Okay. The total CapEx on the API project, which was originally estimated during November 2020 when we made the PLI application, was around 96 crore, which was actually too preliminary, and at that time detail engineering was not done. It happened after that, and it got revised to about 130 crores in 2021. But after that, our decision to go for an improvement in the layout for meeting the regulatory requirements, decision to put the all the basic infrastructure like the buildings and all for both phases at one go, and of course the delay in the increase in the preoperative expenses due to delay in starting the commercial production. All these reasons have pushed this cost, and now at this moment we anticipate the cost to be about 167 crores. So, of course, the cost has been already, as you are aware, that we have taken loans of about 48 crores, and then rest of it has been filled by equity. So, I think it's a well-balanced equity and loan which has funded the project.
Okay. Well, that was it from my side. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Jogan Jaiswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. One question on your HPMC line. So we had in our previous presentations mentioned the timeline for the expansion, but this time around there seems to be some delay. So can you shed some light on when are we expecting to operationalize the HPMC line?
Actually, our project for HPMC line consisted of HPMC project was of consisting of three lines, out of which the first was commissioned sometime in the Q4, and then it has started commercial production by end of March and stabilized production in April. So right now we are fairly satisfied with the quality of production and the quantity it is giving out output, though it needs improvement over a period of time. So now, after looking at the technical parameters of this line and any specific modifications that needs to be done, we will be taking a call on the second and third line, which we anticipate that they will be implemented during this current year. Sorry.
Okay. And so, currently, what would be the realization trends for these HPMC capsules?
HPMC capsule realization is about 28 paisa per capsule, sir.
And what is the trend like, sir, compared to previous quarters? Is it again getting competitive and the prices are down, or how are they trending?
HPMC, as there are not much competition, and HPMC customers also are niche, I don't foresee much challenge in this pricing, and we foresee a stable pricing at that level of 280 to 300. Maybe it can go down by up to 260. That's the kind of fluctuation we can see. As far as your question that how it is comparing with the previous quarter, it is fairly stable in last 2-3 quarters.
Okay. So, sir, if we have to think about our margins, which used to be 20% plus and then they have come down to 10-11%, if they have to go back up, so what kind of scenario you want in industry to happen? Do you want RM pressure to reduce, or is this more because of the demand that the prices are subdued? And what is our take on EBITDA margins? How can they get back to 15-20% on a sustainable basis?
Actually, if you look at the facts, the consolidated balance sheet results have shown there is a drop in EBITDA margin. But if you really look at the EBITDA margins on a year-on-year basis, the drop is about 6%, 20.33 in FY23 to about 14% in FY24. So, having said that, we do are realize that the EBITDA margins have to improve, and I think it is mostly to do on both the fronts. Cost cutting would be one, where we will work on reducing our costs by. We have tied up with a power generation company for supplying solar power to our Bangalore plant, which gives an effective saving of around 1 rupee per unit. Labor cost increases will be much lesser this year. That's our anticipation. We are also working to reduce our RM costs by better sourcing. So we hope that these measures would improve the EBITDA margin. On the other hand, we also expect the selling prices to improve in the coming quarters. We think that the fall in the pricing has bottomed out, and anything can go up from here on onwards. So definitely we anticipate that there is going to be an improvement in the EBITDA margin. Yes, sir.
Okay. That's helpful. So secondly, on the API business, so again, there has been slight delays or in fact continuous delays in getting the approvals or, you know, getting our production on stream. So if you could just elaborate what is the exact reason for these delays, and the way the things are happening now and there are these delays, how will the PLI thing get affected? Do you think there is a scope for government to reconsider the timelines, because if things get delayed more, we might miss out on few of the PLI timelines?
Actually, the project was supposed to have started on 1/4/23. We were ready for the small volume batches in the month of September. But unfortunately, the pollution control board license and drug license did not materialize, which have just come in the month of March. We got the pollution control board permission, and we started selling the chemical intermediates, and we got the drug license in the month of first week of May, and we started selling the drug intermediate drug products for which we got the license. In fact, our R&D pipeline was pretty much ready with another totally 20 products of API molecules. So now we have already applied for another 8, another 10 are in pipeline. We initially got production license for 2 products. So, but for these delays, we would have started revenue generation from last year October itself. But unfortunately, because of these statutory compliances, permissions, we were stuck. Now, the bigger plant, which is to produce the larger capacity, is now we have to get the consent for operation from the Pollution Control Board, and for which all the actions at R&D have been taken. Our ZLD plant, zero liquid discharge plant, which was a mandatory requirement for the larger operation, has been made ready and inspected. So going forward, we anticipate. Actually, another factor affected all these was the general, no government offices were working during the silent period due to the general elections going on. And therefore, we anticipate that post 4th of June, the quicker action by most of these departments. So we anticipate that by end of June or so, we get this final consent for operation for the large capacity plant, and we start taking the sterility trials and the validation batches immediately thereafter.
Got it, sir. And sir, in past we had also mentioned that we were working to develop 2 KSMs, which we were yet to crack. So any progress or update on those?
Out of those 3 KSMs, 2 are already done, and then we have been able to manufacture hydrocortisone and prednisolone. There were other products for dexamethasone and betamethasone, out of which betamethasone also has been fairly developed, and we are getting output on the expected lines. It needs optimization as we go on upscaling. The dexamethasone we are still working on. So probably as we stabilize these 2 products, our R&D is totally focused on these achieving the goal.
Okay, that's helpful. And sir, last question. So in past we have consistently maintained that we expect our API business to give us 20% plus EBITDA margins and more or less 2.5 times asset turns. So given the way things are panning out now, and now you have a better understanding of how the product is behaving at your pilot scale and how difficult or easy things would be at the commercial stage, do you still think that those assumptions and those workings hold true?
I agree that there is a drop in price realization for most of the APIs, and we feel that, yes, the most of the projections for API projects have gone haywire. But my take is that the promise that we will be able to do 2.5 asset turn is in the year number 4, when we have significant revenue coming from regulated market customers. We still hold that kind of a view, and we hold that. See, international business customers are not affected by these kind of fluctuations in the pricing. They are your customers for a stable customer for a longer period of time, and the margins are pretty stable and good margins. So we still expect the asset turn to be in the range of 2 to 2.2 in the year 4 when we have the significant revenue coming from regulated market exports.
And so in near term, say next 1 year?
Yes, next 1 year probably, I think we are totally focused on domestic customers. Domestic customers, yes, there is a tough margin challenge there. But still we would see that it to be in the range of 9 to 10% in the domestic business.
Thank you very much.
Got it. Thank you.
Come back. Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. So, sir, just wanted to, ask, with all the new lines and new avenues that we see, so what kind of revenue growth are we building in for FY25? Because HMPC line would be a new avenue, and we are seeing some better realizations in FY25. So what kind of revenue do you think we will be able to clock in, sir?
Keeping aside all the uncertainties of the business, we anticipate somewhere around 200 to 210 crores of revenue coming in. This is worked out based on our current gelatin business expecting higher realization by around, say, 5%, maybe additional HPMC line which is already installed, another line which may come through the year, and additional export revenues which we are looking from ROW market. So these revenues plus the revenue from subsidiary level at the consolidated level, we would expect about 200 to 210 crores.
Oh, perfect, perfect. So that's great to hear, sir. And with these higher revenues, we'll be able to go back to our FY23 operating margins, right, sir? We'll be able to clock in 20%, sir?
I would say that the capsule margins would definitely improve from the current level of 14% on annual basis, which is, of course, in Q4 we got the EBITDA margins were around 12%. So probably they will go up by another 2-3% now. But of course, the API business definitely will have a challenge being the first year of operation. There it will be less than the capsule margin. So therefore, at the console level, there will still be a kind of a growth like what we are currently seeing. So at the capsule standalone, we'll see improvement. At the console level, there could be a small reduction or maybe at the level at which we are today.
Oh, okay, fair enough, sir, fair enough, sir. And, sir, on a longer-term basis, with the new lines coming in and new products, sir, so what is our vision, maybe, 3 years down the line, how do we look at it, sir? I know it's maybe a longer-term vision, but then just any internal target that we have, sir.
So our vision for capsule business is clear. We are the second largest capsule player in India. We want to consolidate that position. Our HPMC business is in for a major overhaul in the sense that internationally HPMC consumption is going up, and we foresee that our capacity is going up in HPMC over the period of next 2-3 years. So I think there is a consolidation in our industry happening over a period of time that may bring in more bigger size for our capsule business. At the API level, API subsidiary is concerned, we are clearly focused towards going in for regulatory audits for our API plant in about 24 to 30 months. We expect the EU GMP audit or USFD audit We want to start with exhibit batches as soon as the drug license are available, and then start filing the drug master files in about 6 months' time once the stability studies are over. So our vision for 3 years down the line would be for the API plant to have got regulatory approvals and capsule business to be bigger in size and bigger in margin.
Okay, fair enough, sir. And so just any kind of, you know, demand environment risk that you see, so that, you know, maybe that can act as a speed bump for our growth ambitions, or any risk of, you know, further slowdown or realization drop?
You are referring to capsule business or the
yes.
API?
Capsule business, sir.
So, capsule business, of course, we have seen the drop in realization in last 6 quarters. I have explained the reason in my opening remarks. It happened due to many factors, especially the disturbance in the exports leading to drop in demand of the exporting formulators, which caused surplus supply in the domestic market, thereby causing some surplus quantity here. But as a mature company, we have our own strategies of looking at increasing exports, which always fetch about 15% to 20% higher margin. And I'm happy to inform all of you that in the year gone by, we have increased our exports by 18%, and to some of the new countries, new continents itself, and some of them are much more mature markets. So it is not only the demand supply which is causing the impact on the net sales realization. Of course, it is the choice of the customer, choice of the country, type of product that you are dealing in, the type of regulated product that you are supplying in. If you are supplying to the capsule products which are going to be exported to US or Europe, it will definitely fetch a better price. So it's a combination of many such factors, and we are focused towards maximizing our EBITDA margins and the net sales realization.
Perfect. So that's it from my side. So all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question was, you know, have we seen any significant decline in prices of the API, the three API that we plan to manufacture over the past year or two, given the, you know, kind of pressure we have seen in other chemicals, including APIs?
Yes, Ankit, I think you're right. There is a significant decline in the API price across the board. And in our segment also, there is a decline. I have seen in last 12 months or 4 quarters, we would say that there is a 15%, 17% decline over the prevailing prices then. But I have seen that in last 1 quarter post the Chinese New Year holidays, there is an uptick again. The main reason, if you analyze, are that these Chinese players of most of these API segments had stocked well during COVID period, and there was expansion of capacity there. So now I believe those channels are getting, I mean, they are liquidating those stocks, or they have liquidated in last 3-4 quarters, and probably things are coming back to normal. So in between, the Chinese guys were also selling below their cost production. That's what we could understand. As far as we are concerned, yes, we are geared up to meet their challenge, and we will have to adopt some innovative strategic marketing or production strategies whereby we can import some of the intermediates to manufacture the end products, which will be cost competitive. Maybe that might impact our PLI realization. But having said that, the Indian industry is also has approached the Government of India, Department of Pharmaceuticals. In recent video conference, Secretary Pharma has assured that they will look into the cases. They are going to soon form a committee whereby all such cases of predatory pricing from China would be looked into and appropriate actions could be taken. So I am sure that the government of the day is aware of this scenario, and it would not allow the local domestic API, the government supported with the PLI scheme, to go down. So we are quite confident. But our vision is clear that down the line, 2-3 years, we are focused for regulated market business, which in any way is not impacted by these vagaries of the Chinese market. And most of the regulated market is looking for alternatives to China. So hence, our vision is clear, though there are challenges in the first or second year, but as we start a regulated market business, we hope to come back to normalcy on the pricing front or the realization front or the EBITDA margin front in the API business.
On the regulatory side, you know, any timeline that you can...
Sorry, can you speak a little louder, please?
Sure. On the regulated market side, can you tell us about which markets are we targeting and what is the status of, you know, regulatory approvals from their respective agencies like, you know, Europe or US if you're targeting them?
See, the regulatory business, the audits will be, I mean, in form of us starting the exhibit batches. Post the exhibit batches, the stability data has to be generated. The stability data has to be filed in form of drug master files with the European authority for CEPs and for US FDA DMF, and we need to update them. So over a period of 18 to 24 months, we invite the customers to trigger the audit, and those customers would initially do validation batches at their end by taking sample quantities from us. Once they are satisfied, they would trigger the audit. So we expect these regulatory audits to trigger anywhere between 24 to 30 months from the date on which we start the exhibit batches.
You know, even in best case, the regulated market revenues for our API business will not start before FY27, mostly in the second half of FY27, and it might possible that it will spill over to FY28.
I think somewhere around the second half of 27, yes. Second half of 27, we expect the regulated market business, and for a full year of operation, it will be a 528.
Sir, how do you see the ramp-up happening in the API segment? We will be starting from second half of FY25. So let's say, you know, FY26, even if you sell in the domestic market, what kind of revenues are we planning to generate?
Domestic market revenues in the current year, since we are looking at full operations of about 2 quarters, we are anticipating something like about 45 to 50 crores of business.
And will we break even?
There may be cash break even. Yes, we are anticipating cash break even there.
Okay, and FY26?
FY26 could be about 125 crores. It all depends on how soon we are able to get the approvals for our derivative products. Some of the derivative products for ROW exports will start going out from next year. But we will require some expeditious drug licensing approval. So once they come in, I think our revenues can go up. But in any case, we anticipate about 125 crores.
You know, given the domestic market is like...
Can I talk a little louder, please?
Sure. So, you know, just wanted to, you know, understand one thing from you, sir. You know, domestic imports are a big chunk of the market. You know, the entire market is imported and will be, like, you know, the only manufacturer in two of the products, and the third product will be one of the two manufacturers. Why aren't we so bullish on our domestic markets itself, you know, given all these are imported products, you know? Just wanted to know your views on...
Ankit, it's basically our Indian tendency of the looking at the price sensitivity. People are very, very price conscious. So I'm not that pessimistic. We are optimistic. We have seen some cases where government has gone out of the way and promoted the local industry in case of a company in Gujarat which came up last year with Progestron, and government instructed top companies in India who were importing to stop importing and buy locally, even though it was costlier. So I'm anticipating something of that sort should happen. And we have already approached. We are in continuous touch with the officials in the Department of Pharmaceuticals. And we hope that people will support the domestic industry, even though we might not be fully competitive, but look at the import duty, the expenses, the involved 8 to 10% price difference always will be there, because 7.5% import duty, 1 to 1.5% of expenses involved. So we would be rather having that advantage, and I'm optimistic that we will gain more business. Next year, probably, if ramp-up happens, it can increase. Yes, you're right.
Sure. At 120 crore kind of
revenue. Ankit, may I request you to come back for a follow-up question, please?
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anupam Agarwal from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much and good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, we've closed this year at a 10% overall sales decline. Can you break it down into volume and you've talked about realization drop. How much is the realization drop for the year?
Actually, there is a volume has grown, whereas the realization has dropped by about one. Answer? Yes. So 10% drop down in sales is, I would say, on top of the increase in volume by around 3 to 4%, whereas margins have dropped by about 7%.
Sorry, can you come again? 3 to 4% volume growth.
See, realizations have dropped by about 12 to 13%, and there is a volume growth of 3 to 4%. So thereby, 10% net drop in our revenue.
And also, you mentioned that 18% is the volume growth in exports. So does that mean domestic volume growth has declined?
Yes, we as a a deliberate policy, we try to divert the domestic business to international business so that we get better margins.
Understood. And sir, how much was this volume and price for the quarter, YOY?
You mean say the export business?
No, for the overall business that we did 40 crores for the quarter. It's a 7% YOY growth. How much is volume and how much is price?
Volume growth would be about 2 to 3% as compared to YOY.
Understood. Second question is on the HPMC line 1. You mentioned you've already started and capitalized. How much capex had we invested in the first line?
First line capex has been around 7 crores.
7 crores. And what is the likely utilization in the first year of operation, which is FY25?
FY25, this machine will be utilized 95% of the capacity. Maybe going forward, as we have already stated in our opening remarks, the line number 2 and 3 also will get commissioned. Utilization is always in the range of about 95%.
Understood. And you mentioned 0.28 paisa per capsule in the HPMC. How much is the per unit realization in the normal normal business, base business?
In capsule is roughly around 10 paisa.
10 paisa. Okay. Understood. My next question is on the API business. So you mentioned that there has been price decline in the three products that we had gone for. And you mentioned the deflation is about 15 to 17% and there's a delay. My question is, what sort of implication is there if we are not able to, on a timely basis, execute the project apply for the PLI benefits and incentives? Is there any implication on that front that we are not able to execute timely?
The project has got delayed. Now the project has got completed practically, but the approval for the larger plant is expected now by end of first quarter, and we hope to start the large volume batches in Q2 of the current year. And the implication of the PLI is that the current year PLI revenue would be reduced to the proportion. So therefore we have revise our strategy of, instead of focusing on three products, we would focus on one product so that we achieve the full quantity, which is the committed quantity for the PLI benefit, and try to get the incentive out of that.
Okay. And of the 167 crores capex, how much have you invested so far in FY24 and how much is spillover to FY25?
I think only about 11 crores is remaining to be spent. As on 31st March, we had spent 156 crores, around 11 crores. So most of that has already been spent, except
Understood. What is our cost of debt, sir, overall cost of debt?
All around 9%, 9 to 9.25%.
Understood. Understood. That's all from my side. I'll come back in the queue if I have any more. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chirag from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi. Good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand, is my understanding correct that we are one of the lowest cost producers of capsules?
Yes, our cost of production has been one of the most minimum, I would say, because our this is on the basis of our claim that we have been manufacturing on a machine which is producing the highest output. And assuming all things being equal, I would say my cost of production is less. The other producers are having overheads which I believe are higher than ours. So we believe that our cost of production is low.
So, actually, my next question, the question is related to this fact. If that is correct, then at 10-12%, when we are making 10-12% margins, is it fair to assume that a bunch of industry participants would be either underwater or at broadly just break-even?
Yes, you are right, sir.
So this year, the domestic industry, there are multiple participants who sort of probably have been basically manufacturing at cost.
Yes.
Understood. And so when you expect an evolution of price around, say, 4-5% next year, is that what your expectation is from the current broadly 9.5 paise to more like 10 paise next year?
Yes, yes. I'm expecting that.
So if that happens, then won't our margins go back to more 20%? Because everything else is fixed cost, right? Predominantly below that. I can't reconcile that with the 14% guidance that you also gave. Just wanted to understand that, because at 10 paise, we'd probably be able to generate a 5.5 paise gross profit and probably a 2 rupee EBITDA.
I would say our margins are definitely going to improve. Say I expect 5% realization improvement, but that need not necessarily get converted into 5% EBITDA margin improvement, because certain costs will also go up. So I presume that there will be a reasonable increase of about 3% in EBITDA margin going forward.
Understood. So what you're saying is that the ASP increase is coming along with some RM cost increase also. So gross profit itself would not go up that much per capita.
Yeah, RM and other overheads. Overheads are always annual growth on the labor cost, electricity cost, and all those of it will always be there. So we anticipate there will be some increase in cost, input costs. So therefore, on totality, we could see about 300 basis point increase in EBITDA number.
Understood. OPEX per capsule, you expect to that to go up by 8-10%? Is that a reasonable expectation?
Could you please come back again?
OPEX per capsule, the OPEX costs that you're saying are sort of going to go up, is that going to be in the 8-10% range? Is that a reasonable way to think about
it? Annually, it has been growing at the rate of about 8-10% OPEX costs, which invariably consists mainly the salaries and wages and, of course, the electricity costs. So this year we have taken certain measures to control our electricity costs. We'll not go that much high. We have used some green energy and invested in a solar power generating company, and we have tied up for one of the plants in Bangalore to 100% source solar energy. So thereby our cost per unit has gone down by 1.5 rupees or so, and that would provide some savings to us. And otherwise, OPEX costs should go up by 6-8%, but I expect it to be in the range of 5-6%.
Understood. And, sir, exports, though it has grown 18-20% this year, it's still, our base is decently small given the overall market size. Is there anything that's sort of broadly stopping us from dramatically, shifting more and more capacity to exports? What is the constraint on sort of growing even faster there on exports? Because if I'm not wrong, that allows you to sort of have stable realizations over a period of time, right?
Yeah, you are right, sir. So actually, we are working hard, and we have added on more marketing team members on the export side. We have, I'm happy to inform that this year was the first year we started exporting to U.S. market. So U.S. To nutraceutical customers, we have been supplying now, and maybe we'll tie up with the pharma customers also, generic pharma there in U.S. So I think we are looking at more new geographies as we are consolidating with our existing customer base also. So we are hopeful of increasing it gradually as the markets are challenging there. The There is a competition from China, but having said that, we also have our own advantages, strengths there, and we have been consistently growing on exports.
Thank you very much. Chirag, sorry to interrupt you. May I request you to come back for a follow-up question?
Okay.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arun Singh, individual investor. Please go ahead. Arun Singh, may I request to unmute your line and go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, hello. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. This is actually a new company for me. So thank you very much for the opportunity. So my question is about the, you know, raw materials that we export. How much margins are we expecting for the next year?
You are referring to raw material means what? We are exporting gelatin capsules, HPFC capsules?
Yes, sir, both. I want to know about both of them.
Generally, our as I mentioned, that our sales realization in domestic on a blended basis is about 97 paisa in this quarter, which probably were, if you break it on a domestic and export basis, it will be something like 92, 93 paisa domestic, whereas about 112 paisa for the exports. So there is a 20 paisa difference between the two. So the export fetches about 20% better realization.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next question is from Lana Vinesha from Prestige Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, out of this total installed capacity of 18.75 billion capsules, how much would be HPMC capsules?
So actually, till now we have been producing HPMC capsules on a campaign basis on our gelatin lines. So this was the first HPMC dedicated high-speed line that we introduced, which added on 750 million in this current year. Our gelatin capacities are about 18 billion. 750 is the HPMC capacity.
Okay. And once we add these two proposed lines in FY25, what will be the total HPMC capacity? And how much more money we will spend for these two lines?
Our total HPMC capacity would increase to totally about 2.25 billion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. So total capacity will move towards 21 billion, somewhere around 21 billion.
And we'll have to spend another, because already part of the money is spent on the project, we need to spend another 4, 5 crores or 7 crores for the completing the project balance.
Okay, so for remaining two lines, we will be spending 5 to 7 crores more.
Yes. Maybe.
Okay. Okay. And what after that, sir? I mean, are we, what is our plan to move towards, let's say, 25, 30 billion capsules over FY26, FY27? Are we thinking in that direction? And what kind of investment?
Yeah, as I already mentioned in one of the previous answers, that we are looking at consolidation in the next 2-3 years, as there are players who probably are looking for consolidation. So, yes, we will look for opportunities wherever it meets the synergies. We will look for that, and there will be, there could be organic or inorganic growth both ways.
Okay, we are open to inorganic growth as well. Okay, and this capacity addition can take place in our existing facilities, right?
Exactly. This has already been planned. Infra is already existing.
Okay, okay. And so usually, how are these contracts with our customers structured? I mean, these are spot sales, or these are like quarterly agreements, annual agreements, offtake agreements. I mean, if you can just help us understand the way in which we are structuring these capsule sales contracts with our customers. Usually, what's the norm and what are we doing in exports and domestic both?
Yeah, so in domestic, it depends on the type of customers. Large customers like MNC companies, large Indian corporates, or mid-sized pharma companies, they generally tend to give scheduled deliveries, maybe over a period of 3 months, and then they will... generally, the prices are negotiated maybe once a year only, but since last year was a tremendously under-pressure year, so probably they were negotiated more than once. And whereas the domestic export formulators or the generic players, they do spot deals on purchase order to purchase order basis. There's an export market, it is fairly stable. There we have annual contracts with our distributors and the large customers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And sir, historically our capacities have gone up, or we have operated at more than 100% as well. So that is a possibility even this time as well, right?
Yes, I think it can happen. But generally, we have been, the installed capacity is declared maybe a little conservatively, and sometimes depending on the demand, we run machines without shutdown, so it can produce theoretically more than 100%.
Okay. Sir, I have a follow-up on the API subsidy. So, I mean, in our presentation, we are talking about the ESOPs given to our R&D team. So if you can, what is the strength of our current R&D team? How many people are there? And are these ESOPs being given at a subsidiary level or at a natural capsules level? If you can just help us understand.
To answer your the question about the strength of the R&D team in API business is about 34 people today. They consist of three teams, the fermentation R&D, the chemical synthesis R&D, and the analytical R&D. So we have a fairly good team led by senior people who are doctorates, PhDs, and postgraduates, and most of them are postgraduates. So now coming to the ESOP, we have ESOP scheme both in the main listed entity as well as a subsidiary entity. The listed entity gave one ESOP to one of the employee who was initially recruited for starting this R&D for the API, who was allotted one tranche of ESOP in the listed entity. The rest, he has been transferred on to the ESOP in the subsidiary. In subsidiary company, we have granted ESOP to at least four of the senior employees there, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can you quantify the size of the ESOP program or how it can evolve in the next 2-3 years?
So, we have in the API got an approval from the shareholders and the investors for about 3%, up to 5% of the total paid up capital.
Okay. And sir, with respect to, because we have invested a large chunk of outside money into our subsidiary, and we have seen that earlier in these investors, they have exited via IPO route in their earlier investments. So what is the possibility that we should look at over here, let's say 4, 5, 7 years, whenever it materializes, whether the investor would want to exit via IPO, OFS route, or demerger? Eventually demerger will happen and existing shareholders will also get shares of the subsidiary company. What is the thought process, or how should we think about it, sir?
Our understanding is that the investor would exit. They have various options. One of them would be, of course, listing the subsidiary on the stock exchange, whereby all the shareholders of the listed entity would get the shares in the subsidiary as well. That is a fair possibility.
Okay. So we are...
Sorry to interrupt you. May I request you to come back for a follow-up, could we please?
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Hemant, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, my question is related to the Mexico order which we got last year. So what is the status of that order, sir?
Yeah. So Mexico order was with a large MNC company there which operates in Mexico, one of the top three companies there. Though it was slow to materialize, but now last quarter we have exported 2 containers and we are hoping more and more orders to come in now. It's a market where the approvals come very slow by. The approvals come by very slow, and that's why it has taken time. And in between, the international lead times for the delivery of capsules also improved. So therefore, it took some time. But now our partner in Mexico is also fully focused on developing the business, and we have been continuously giving them techno-commercial support. We hope to do bigger business in the current year.
So we were expecting 40-45 crores of revenue from this. So what is the expectation for this year?
I think this business brought us about not more than 3 to 4 crores last year. Of course, because there was a lot of delay in their approval process. And then, of course, as I just mentioned, the lead times in their international other suppliers came down. So that went down. But with looking at the current forecast given by them, we anticipate about 15 crores from Mexico in going full year of operation.
Is it 15 crores, sir?
Yes, I anticipate that.
Okay, okay. And in the previous answers, you were mentioning that you have supplied few capsules to US this year. So, did we have any USFDA audits in your company?
No, I mentioned that it is for nutraceutical company, and we are now targeting some generic pharma company. But as per the USFDA guidelines, this capsules is being categorized as excipient, and they are not at this moment giving priority for excipient site inspections.
Okay.
But I don't know any point of time if we supply to pharma companies, it can trigger audit from USFDA. Yes. We are prepared for that.
Okay. And regarding the API small batches, what we are doing, sir, what is the feedback from domestic customers?
The feedback is quite reasonably okay. We have just started supplying the pharmaceutical pharma grade of products. Just got license for two products. Another 8 products are expected in next week or so. 10 are in the pipeline. So we will have a portfolio of 50 products by end of this quarter. So we will be able to generate a reasonable amount of business from that. And we will get the feedback. And based on the feedback, we'll definitely be able to meet the customer requirements.
Okay. Sir, and my last question is related to this, your HPMC line. So we were purchasing these lines from DBDS Robotics, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
So what can be the maximum duration for us to purchasing these lines? So sell this.
At the moment, we already have orders booked with them. We had booked order for 3 lines, out of which 1 got commissioned last March. And other 2 lines are in pipeline. We will be commissioning them. So at the moment, we don't plan to add on more lines. And going forward, we will evaluate it. If required, we can always add on that. Their lead times are about 6 months. Since we order, we can deliver in 6 months.
Okay. So maximum is 6 months only.
Right. Yeah.
So if you are not purchasing any line in next 6 months, they can start selling outside.
They are, in fact, we had an understanding with them about the high-speed lines. Till about last year, they did not sell. But once our uptake is not there, they are free to export it to other countries.
Okay. And they can sell it internally in our country as well, right?
If we do not continuously procure from them.
Okay. Okay, sir, that's it. I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Praveen Sharma, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
I have just one question. I think the earlier participant asked this. Since most of the delay is from the part of, the regulators, wherein we got delayed due to the pollution, license and the drug license, is there a possibility and are you exploring writing to the government to reverse an extension for the PLI?
We have spoken on this subject, and not only me, there are several projects which are impacted like this. Out of the 43 products, there are at least about 27 products which are still facing delays from various angles. So the Department of Pharmaceuticals, the concerned officers, are still not able to commit anything on the extension of the scheme, whereas they are helpful in expediting this, the approvals. They have been writing to the concerned officers at the state level to expedite that. But they have still not been forthcoming in committing on this. They said this is an in-principle decision, and only at the NITI Aayog level they will be taking some decision. So far we have no clarity on that.
Okay, and basically because the delay was, the delay was on part of the state government also, one can consider it. I'm sure you would be, all of you would be raising it to the government and they should say, favorably consider it. And sir, you said that we got the license for 2 products. So we had PLI for the 3, correct? And we are, we have applied for 8, but we have a capacity ready for 3. So which one is the missing one?
No, Mr. Praveen, the licenses we got for the derivatives, now the main PLI products are to be expected in next 8-10 days. And our focus, as I just mentioned in my earlier answers, was that in the current year, in order to take some PLI benefit, we would be focusing on one product since we are already through half of the year. By the time we launch the large-scale batches, so we will focus on a product called prednisolone, and then we will try and achieve the targeted capacity as committed in PLI scheme. The other two products will also be taken up, and as we commission our other two lines of fermentation, right now two trains have got commissioned, another two trains have to come, so the other two products also will be taken up.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you very much. Next follow-up question is from Dwayne Funkin Gupta from Bamboo Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. One challenge that, you know, fermentation player face is that, you know, transferring, when the transfer happens to the commercial plant from the pilot plant, you know, the scale-up, the large-scale manufacturing is a challenge. So how confident are we that, you know, we'll be able to successfully stabilize all the three APIs and, you know, commercially manufacture in large batches?
Yeah, I think that's a very valid question, and but we are confident in the sense that we have people, a team of people who have worked on those scales in China, like right now, because we didn't have access to a fermenter which was at a commercial scale, we have done batches up to 300 liter fermenter, and now we are scaling up to 1 KL and then to 10 KL to 60 KL. So, but we are fairly confident since the team which we are having have hands-on experience.
Sir, you know, you said that, you know, FY26 you are targeting 120 crore kind of revenues. So at that capacity utilization and, you know, output, what kind of EBITDA margins can we expect?
EBITDA margin, I presume in the next financial year, FY26, we expect part of the revenue coming from ROW exports. So therefore, our margins are definitely going to be better than the margins in the first year. We expect about 10 to 12% EBITDA in the year two, sir.
Year two, 10 to 12% is what we are looking at. And at least we'll be able to break even on the cash level, cash basis?
Yeah, cash break even, I think we should have in year one itself. Probably, yes, we will be having cash break even, yeah.
PBT level will still be losses because of high depreciation, I guess.
Yes, there is interest costs are not that high. Of course, it is looking at the overall scenario, interest costs are under control.
Okay, and depreciation will be like, you know, 170 crore kind of capex, so around 8 to 10 crore per annum? For the API plant?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Godwin, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Sir, we have already applied for 16 API licenses, right? 26 API licenses, right?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, we can. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, we had already taken approval for manufacturing of 26 APIs, right? Apart from the, including these three ones.
Those were test licenses taken for R&D in stability batches. 26 test licenses means we had taken the permission to do stability studies on those 26 molecules, of which 20 were completed in our R&D center and were transferred, the tech transfer docket was transferred to our commercial site. And those 20 we have applied for manufacturing license now.
Fine, sir. And how soon can we expect these things to get materialized in the production phase?
The production is already, as I mentioned to you, two products. We got the license, started the commercial production. Another 8 are expected in about 10 days or 12 days. Another 10 licenses by 30th June. It took us some time for the first license because first license consisted of not only the product license but the facility approval. So they took some time, but the once the facility is approved and first set of licenses received, follow up additional product license come little easier. So we expect these 20 product license to be available with us by June, and based on the order position, we hope to start supplying those products.
Okay, and one more question from my end, sir. Since we are the single producer of some of these mentioned APIs, how do you see the competition intensity scaling up into this thing? And what competitive advantage we have in blocking other competitors from this segment?
I would say that probably our project is backward integrated fully. One is that advantage, so probably we don't have to be dependent on intermediate supplies from China. So fluctuation, we will be able to commit a longer-term price to our customers. Second is probably with the only type of plant outside China with a fully backward integrated fermentation and synthesis kind of a facility, we have a much better chance of exporting to regulated markets. So once we have those businesses, we have sustainable profitability, and that would sustain us to see the competition domestic market, we will be able to sustain that competition.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Next follow-up question is from the line of Vinay Shah from Prestige Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity again, sir. Sir, you just a follow-up on that demerger slash IPO exit for the investor. So you said we are open to doing the demerger and then going for an IPO. Or, I mean, I didn't get that part. If you can just help me understand that thing, sir.
The demerger of a subsidiary of a listed entity is a technical listing. Basically, it's a technical listing. So there is no need for us to do an IPO as such to list the stocks. So effectively, demerging the company will lead to listing of the stocks. So to give an exit to the investor, probably this is one of the routes which they have proposed, and we have thought about it. But there are secondary sale is another option, buyback by the company is another option. So there are multiple options given there.
Okay. But the current inclination is towards doing a demerger, mirror demerger. Okay.
It would be decided, sir. About we still have some time to deliberate upon. It will depend on the situation of the kind of the financial strength the company has that point of time, now it pans out. We will do decision will be taken. And I'm confident that if not for giving exit to the investor, in any case it will be done in case the companies are doing well. So it will be demerged and listed stocks will be available to all the shareholders.
Okay. And sir, what would be, if you can just give us some sense on the timeline for the domestic market, because our products will have to go through the validation batches, then approvals, then DMF changes, etc., even for the domestic manufacturers as well. So, and because I assume the export markets will take some more time to take off, but by when can we expect the end derivative sales to start in the domestic market?
The domestic market is again, Mr. Vinay, consists of three types of customers. One who are generic players would probably look at the our data, will take a quick testing of the samples and start buying. Then there are some mid-level companies who put their product into stability. Maybe 3 months is the timeline for those kind of customers. Then there are some of the bigger customers which probably have big brands and all that. Probably they come and audit the plant, and then probably that we take it as 6 to 9 months as a timeline. But those customers which are looking at exporting their finished products to some of the regulated markets, yes, it might take some time. Probably they might wait for our audit to trigger, or maybe they might itself be helping us to trigger the audit.
Okay. Just last question from my end, sir. We said we are open to some M&A activity in the capsules space itself. And since we are the second largest, so what kind of capacities are there available in the system? I mean, are there many players with 2 billion capacity, 5 billion capacity who are available for sale? They are not efficient. They are not able to efficiently manage their operations because of scale. Or what is the landscape of these smaller players who may be up for grabs? I mean, if you can just help us understand that scenario.
There are a couple of companies with a range of about 6 to 8 billion capsules capacity each. And we have got some hints from them, and then So far, at this moment, we are lying low. Maybe at the appropriate time, we'll take a decision. So there are opportunities available there.
Okay. And usually, sir, what is the life of this plant or life of the equipment, capsules machine that we buy, capsules line?
I think easily about 25 years plus.
Okay. Okay. Sure, sir. That's it from my end, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ketan Athavale from RoboCapital.in. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned that 3%...
Ketan, sorry, we are losing your audio. Can you please come in a better reception area?
Okay, I'll... just a moment. Am I audible now?
Yes, thank you.
Sir, you mentioned a 3% improvement in margin that you expect. So by when can we achieve that?
We are working on that. Probably, maybe in Q2, we can see that improvement coming in.
So, entire 3% by Q2, you are saying?
Yeah, could be.
Oh, this is for console level, right?
No, this is for capsule level.
Capsule.
Okay. Console level, as I already told you, this is the first year of operation. Probably, our margins in the API subsidiary would be much lesser than the average EBITDA margin in the capsule unit. So, probably at the console level, it will be less than the average.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Mundra for closing comments.
Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your time and interest in Natural Capsules Limited. Have a great day ahead. This concludes our earnings call. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Natural Capsules Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.